Lord, just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to come back today, and we thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon our fellowship, and Lord, for the wonderful time we have together, for the moving of your Spirit amongst us. We are so grateful. And as we come back to your word now, Lord, just bless our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And the title of this afternoon's message is Why We Should Know God's Ways. And we're really going to touch just on verse 4 and 5, but I'll read verses 1 to 5 shortly. But I was reading of a farmer, and he was always asking his friend into his apple orchard to taste the fruit and make some fresh cider together. But just as often as he asked his friend to come in, the friend used to say to him, "No, I'd rather not." And the farmer, he got a bit fed up with it, and he said, "Well, look, I guess you don't like my apples." And he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I've tasted some of them and they're quite sour." And the farmer said, "Well, which apples did you taste?" And he said, "Well, the apples that grow along the side of the road." And he said, "Yes, I planted sour apples there on purpose. It stops all the boys coming in and stealing the good apples in the orchard." Now, there's on the edges of Christianity, on the skirts of our Christian walk, there are some very sour apples. There's the sour apple of conviction. When we've made a foot wrong somewhere and we're convicted, or maybe we've sat down and we're taking it a little bit too easy and we come under conviction to stir ourselves up. There's the sour apple of self-denial and the purity of life. And those sort of things keep off the hypocrites and those mere professors of Christ. But in the middle of God's orchard, there are beautiful, sweet, delicious fruit ready to be taken. And the nearer to God we draw, the sweeter the joy. Now, God is knowable. God desires that all come to him and know him personally. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But it goes far deeper than that. He desires that all who have placed their trust in him come to him in a meaningful understanding of who he is and his plan for their life. He desires that we get to know him, not just as God in heaven, but as a real person at work in our lives, one who cares for us, one who loves us, one whose great desire is to lead and guide and teach us that he and he alone is absolutely trustworthy. He wants us to understand that he is real and that he lives within us, and the only thing he has on his mind is our best. And for us to understand his ways, we have to know the ways of God. And in order to know someone intimately, you just can't know what they do. You must know the character and the heart of that person. You must know what motivates them. And the same is true for our wonderful God. Unfortunately, we know about God, but we haven't really, really got to know him. Even more unfortunate is that many are satisfied just knowing some facts about him. And yet God, his desire, he wants us truly to know and love him. And Psalm 25 and verses 1 to 5, let's read these together. It's a little beautiful little five verses there. "Thus saith the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day." Okay, why should we know the ways of God? Well, first of all, because they're essential to knowing him. Verse 4 there says, "Show me thy ways." See, there are ways of God and there are ways of man. So why should we learn God's ways? Because we can get to know God's heart. When we learn his ways, we have a deeper heart relationship with him. You know, life's greatest pleasure to a believer is to know God personally and intimately. Everything comes out of that. And for that to happen, we've got to spend time with Him. Time alone with Him. If you're a husband and father, or if you're serving in the church or that, it's essential that you set a bit of time alone, come out and just spend that time with Him in deep meditation and the reading of His Word so He can talk to you. Now, David asks a question in Psalm 42. He says, "Why art thou cast," and Psalm 43, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" He is facing a terrible time in his life. He was on the run, hiding from those he thought were his friends, and now they turned into enemies trying to kill him. But what does he do? We see David calling out to his God, because David knew that's the only hope, was to hope in his God. He also knew there was no hope in anything else. He knew if he called upon his God for help in the darkest times, if he turned to his God, God would come through for him. How did he know that? Because David looked back to how God had previously worked in his life. David had been delivered from the paw of the lion. He'd been delivered from the paw of the bear when he faced Goliath. He didn't need the world's armor or swords or anything to go with him. He knew how God worked in his life, and he just took 5 smooth stones and a sling. First Samuel 17:45 then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand." And in verse 47, "All the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear or sword, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That's where he stood. He knew his God on a personal level. And until we know him in such a personal and intimate way, there's no way we're going to understand the battle is his. And when we obey God, and when we walk with God, and when we seek God's face, all the things God desires from us, all the consequences of our life rest in his hands. He trusted in God's ability, not his own ability. He knew no matter what the battle was, the battle belonged to the Lord. Why? Because David walked in his ways. Sure, we know David made a big mistake, a huge one, but God still called him a man after his own heart. You see, he had a desire to do things God's way. He stood up for his God, knowing that God would defend him. He asked God, "Show me your ways." And God did, because God didn't want David to fall into the trap of taking everything on himself and trying to do everything his own way. Now, Isaiah 55:8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, we've been created in his image. We are called to be perfect as he is perfect. And guess what? One day we will be. One day we will. You see, God can forgive. God's way is a promise to forgive sin. And amen for that. No matter how many times we fall, when we, with truly repentant hearts, ask God to forgive us, he forgets all about it. Yet when someone continues to sin against us, how do we respond to that? We find it hard to do. Remember, Peter's thought 7 times was enough to forgive someone, but Jesus said, "Hang on a minute, 70 times 7, not meaning 490, he means you just continue to forgive." See, God can forgive, and so should we. God can restore. That's something we cannot do. You see, God has given us his Son as the only way to be saved. There's no other name in heaven, under heaven, whereby a man must be saved. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and we're called to be his witnesses. We cannot save anybody. We can only lead them to the Savior. And God is the one who restores them, offers them salvation. And it's in his Son, and it's in no other way. No other way. God can bless, hoping for nothing in return. You know, man very rarely succeeds in doing anything except he expects to get something out of it. That's how man works. You see, God's way is truth. Man's way is error. God's way leads to heaven. Man's way leads to hell. Show me thy ways. By the ministry of your word, Lord, show me thy ways. Now, sometimes we'd have to be honest, we don't understand his ways. We sit, we wonder, why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me? But the more we seek to know him as a personal God, as the greatest friend we can have, the greater confidence we then have in his ability, and then we find ourselves asking for help and strength to understand and bear up and come to grips with where we are at this very moment. Knowing that if we have placed our faith and our hopes in him, eventually it leads to victory. That's why all things work together for good. See, your God is a trustworthy God. And you say, well, the good in my life, I wouldn't call the disaster I'm facing good. Let me tell you something. Has it caused you to open your Bible? Has it caused you to pray to him more? Has it caused your family to gather around a family altar and give praise to his name and to call on him for help? Let me tell you something. There's nothing better than that. That's your good, even though it may seem a disaster. See, he desires you know his ways and be confident no matter what in who he is. There were two young girls and they were talking together and one of them had 10 50-cent pieces. And the other girl looked at her and saw she only had five. And she said to her, well, I've really got 10, not five. And she says, well, hang on a minute, I can only count five in your hand. I've got 10, you've only got five. And she replied, yes, I've got five, but Dad promised me another five when I get home, so I have 10. See, she understood that her father's promise was as good as done. And we need to understand God's promises to us are as good as done. God's way are as good as done. We believe it, we live it, and we trust it. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Secondly, we see in that verse, teach me thy paths. Now, there are paths of sin, there are paths of righteousness, there are paths of holiness, and there are paths of unholiness. And as God's children, we need, as David does right here, to call out to God and say, Lord, teach us. Teach us your paths. And if we do, his promise is he will. But it's not until we become teachable. There's not much use asking someone to teach you something if we're not prepared to be taught. See, a teachable person is someone who's willing to listen, someone who's willing to learn, someone who's willing to apply what they take into their lives. I was reading something that was quite funny the other day. There's a man, he wanted to train his mule. He had a mule and he wanted to train this mule. And the first thing he did was pick up a stick and hit the mule straight between the ears. And this poor mule staggering all over the place, someone come up to him and said, what's the matter with you? What did you do that for? And the man said, to teach a mule, you've got to get his attention first. And that's so true. The observation may or may not be true of mules. I don't know. I was just reading that little story. but there's a good deal of truth in it when it comes to people. Interest has got to be awakened within a person before they learn anything. See, we can call out to God to teach us his path, but if we're not interested, we're not going to learn anything. The question we need to ask ourselves is, does God have my attention? Does his word have my respect? Is it truly considered the light to my path and the lamp for my feet? Do I allow God to direct my life along his path? Do I take heed? Do I observe carefully the directions that I'm heading in? You know, it's interesting when a soldier or someone in the military is called to attention, they snap into a position and they're back straight, their hands down beside them, their feet are together. Now, they don't do it to stand still. They're not called to attention to stand still. Attention is a stance that is ready for another command. That's why they're called to attention. They're ready to respond to the next thing spoken to them. And as Christians, are we ready to respond to the teaching of God's word? Has it called us to attention in our daily lives? Why should we know the ways of God? Listen, if you earnestly ask God to teach you his path, if you listen and if you are interested and if you're willing to pay attention and to receive God's instruction, there's a few things he will do. One, he will provide you with knowledge. You'll begin to know what to do and you'll do it right. You'll have a clear picture of the situation you're in. You'll have a better understanding of your circumstances. You'll have a better insight into your walk with the Lord. And you'll become familiar and you'll become aware of God's working in and through you. Secondly, it will provide you with instructions. And that means you'll be in communion with God. He can lead you and he can guide you. He'll be able to counsel you. He'll be able to educate you. He'll be able to enlighten you of his plan for your life. Now, the point is, isn't that what we want? Honestly. Do we just go through our Christian life going, whatever will be, will be? I'm on my way to glory? No, that's not what it's about. We should want to be in his will and follow where he leads. Listen, can you imagine what it would be like to know God's will for your employment? How to direct your children? Your marriage? Your prayer life? Your service to him and for him? You see, when we become teachable, there's nothing God won't do for us to grow more confident and sure about who he is. Listen, God's not going to withhold any blessing you need to follow the path he's put you on. And that's the thing, is our desire to become more faithful, then we need to let God teach us his way. Now, in saying this, you may not like where God's taken you, but if you are in his will, there's no better place to be. If you desire to be a better servant for him, then you need to let him instruct you how to serve. Is your desire to be obedient? Then you must obey his word. Don't, that's the one thing with obedience, don't expect other people to obey it. We need to obey it. We need to do what we're asked to do. And then, and as I said before, then the consequences belong to him. Call him. Teach me, Lord. But we have to remember, for him to do that, we must be teachable. we need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need a character change. We do. We need to have a good look at ourselves and pray and say, Lord, I need my character change. Lord, I need to control my conduct. I need to ask you, Lord, move me towards my duties. Give me an obedient heart to do your will. Teach me. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. And verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Do you know your God is a faithful God? There's no halfway with him. There's no indecision in his life. He doesn't say to you, well, look, I want you to go this way today and then tap you on the shoulder. Listen, I've made a mistake. I want you to go this way. He knows all things and he can be trusted. You can trust him with your soul and don't ever doubt your salvation. You belong to him. He belongs to you. You're one with him. He's your God and he's the God of your salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief on the truth. Lead me in your truth, Lord. Guide me in the way. Give me direction. Govern my life. Why? So I can come to the place you want me to be. That's why. You see, we make so many plans ahead of him and without him. We've bought the block of land, we've done this, we've moved on here, and we haven't given him a second thought before we know it all. You see, to be led means you must be a follower. And if a person's not following the Lord, then he or she is not really going to go anywhere. You know, God led the Israelites through the desert with a pillar of cloud during the day and with a fire at night. But they had to follow. And if we are prepared to allow God to lead, if we are prepared to follow him, he'll give us directions that are true and sure, and sometimes they're one step at a time, but he'll never leave you in the dark. He'll show you where he wants you to go. Have you ever noticed when you're driving at night and you turn the headlights on, you can only see so far? And it's not until you get to there that you get more direction. And that's exactly the same with God. He'll say, this is where I want you to go. And not until you get there will he then sometimes lead you on to the next direction. And as a person begins to read God's word, as we remember to study and memorize parts of scripture, they start to see God leading them in their life. You see, a soul that loves to pray, one who cannot go without calling on God, gets nearer to God every day. You see, they gain something. Yeah, that is, their heart begins to reach up higher and higher. They want to be at the place God is. They call out to God to help. They call out to God to help them trust in his word. They know that he's the Lord of truth. They ask, Lord, let me live in this experience I'm in right now, in your faithfulness, not my abilities. He's the God of all grace, the God of all comfort. And to know God's ways is to know and love his grace at work in our life, even though we may not understand what's happening. And only when we come to know how wonderful his grace is, as he draws us to himself, the nearer we get to him, the greater the salvation that we have becomes to us. He's the God of our salvation. We would be nothing without him. And listen, we have nothing to fear in following him. Nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Isn't it amazing? Out of his abundant love for each and every single individual, he gave his best to win back what he considers as a treasure. That's us. God will not forget about us. Our names are engraved in the palms of his hands. Isaiah 49:15 says, Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they will not forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So what does that mean to us? How should that motivate us to get to know our God in a greater way? Or maybe more importantly, how does this grace encourage us to live the way he asks us to live? Because we've got all to gain and we've got nothing to lose. Shouldn't we call out like the psalmist, in all truth, with great desire, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth? We should. I want to give you a few reasons why we should know God's ways. First of all, we should know God's ways because they're essential to knowing him. Without learning God's ways, we'll never get to know God's heart. And by learning his ways, we come into one of life's greatest pleasures, and that is to know him personally and intimately. Second, we should know God's ways because he requires we know them. He commands us to know his ways. Deuteronomy 10:12 tells us God requires that we should fear him and walk in all his ways and love him. Now, since he requires it, certainly he's going to help us understand it. Thirdly, we should know the ways of God because why? They're the yearning of his heart. God deeply desires our fellowship. That alone should motivate the Christian to seek him with passion. To know him in a way we've never known him before, deep and meaningful, something that's at work in our lives. We should know the ways of God, fourthly, because he loves us. His way is the wisest way. And it's the only way we're truly going to be satisfied and happy in this life. Fifth, we should know his ways because, brothers and sisters, they're simply the best. That's it. No matter what we face, no matter how difficult a choice we have to make, if it's his way, it'll be the best way, even if it's a painful one. He'll give us the strength and wisdom to face it. And last, we should know God's ways because they are the way to success. What is real success? Well, the world's definition involves wealth and power and possessions. But you know what true success is? It's living a godly life that honors the Lord. And when we imitate his ways, he blesses us above our thoughts and our imaginations could ever think of. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mighty God that we have. We thank you, Lord, that your plans and purpose come to us, Lord, with sincerity and truth. Lord, that we'll never go astray. We will never get off the path if we follow you. Lord, we pray for the strength in our hearts and minds to allow you, Lord. We call upon you like the psalmist, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truths. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.